Good morning, church. Wow. This is my first time speaking at this particular church. So it's a real privilege. I'm really honored to be speaking in the church. It's great to be here. As was said, my name is Jeff. You've probably seen me up here playing recorder a few times. I'm actually from Perth, Western Australia. My wife and I, we're both full-time missionaries here in South Africa. My wife is Michelle. Although Michelle is South African, so we decided to stay in South Africa and be missionaries here rather than going back to Australia, although Australia needs just as much work. The work we're doing here in Durban is, we're actually based up at the Kloof Methodist Church up in Kloof, and we work currently in two different townships in the Durban area. Hey, Ruth. Herschel, hey, it's great to see you guys. Sorry, I haven't seen these guys for so long. we work in two different communities, one called Burlington and the other one called Embo. Embo's just down from Hillcrest, and we do a number of different things there. We're teaching English. We have a reading club in Burlington. We're doing home visits. There's a number of things that we're doing. Michelle and I, we've been working throughout Burling particularly. For the last nearly 8 years now. For those that don't know anything about YWAM, we're a volunteer organization, so none of our volunteers get paid, including our founder, Lauren Cunningham. None of us get paid. We rely on God for our finances. So as I always say to people, every month is a miracle month. Amen? Amen. All right, so everybody trusts God for their finances, just as we do. It just comes in different forms. As I said, it's great to be here and it's great to start off the new year. Who's excited for 2015? Yes? Okay, excellent. Okay, you want to start right. Yes? You want to start the year right. And often what we do is we make New Year's resolutions. Anyone make New Year's resolutions this year? Come on, be honest. No? Some yeses? Okay. All right, because we want to do something special, and we want to set goals for ourselves. Okay? So we want to start the year off right. And what I actually want to talk to you about this morning is actually righteousness. Righteousness. Okay. So firstly, I want to define what righteousness is. Who can tell me what righteousness is? Right standing? Very good. To be in right standing with God. Yeah? Okay. So, everybody who is righteous, stand up. Excellent. Excellent. Almost everyone. Very, very good. All right, you may sit. Okay. All right. So, we've had some incredible teaching in this church on grace and God's grace, yeah? Okay, so I'm going to be reading from Romans 5 today. Romans 5, verse 15, all the way through to 19. Okay. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. Amen. All right, let me just pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning and for your word. And Father, as you lead us and guide us during this time, Holy Spirit, we just invite you to minister to us and to open our hearts and our minds to be renewed and restored, to be in line with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so what you need to know about me, and I'm just going to keep an eye on time, is I can talk. I have no problem talking. My work colleagues tell me that they will give me a time limit so that I know when to stop. Okay, I'm used to speaking in Zulu churches. Anybody who's been to a Zulu church knows that an hour and a half is nothing. Yes? Hour and a half? Okay, so we'll finish about 11:30. Is that okay? Maybe not. Okay, I'll try and keep to time. Okay, the other thing you need to know about me is I'm a teacher, not a preacher. Okay? So today I'm going to do some teaching. Are you ready for some teaching? Okay, good. I don't like to preach. I do love to teach, though. I travel and I teach all over Africa. I'm going to Swaziland on Friday, which is wonderful. I love Swaziland. Swaziland is wonderful. Okay, all right, so what I want to do is I want to teach about righteousness. Because often what happens is we know and we can say, in accordance with the scripture that we've just read, that we are righteous. And everybody, almost everybody stood up and said, yes, I know that I'm righteous. Yeah? But how do you know that you're righteous? How do you actually know for certain that you are righteous in accordance with God's word? Well, the only way that we can determine whether or not we are righteous and have a correct understanding of God's grace and his righteousness that is imputed to us is by actually going back to the law. Now, back in Genesis, God set a covenant in place. What type of covenant was that? With Adam and Eve. What happened in the Garden of Eden? So Eve takes of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Adam's standing right beside her, by the way. And they both eat of that tree. And then sin enters the world, and what does God do? He has to do something to cover their sin, yeah? He killed an animal, that's right. He killed an animal, so he shed blood to enable the forgiveness of sin in the Garden of Eden. And then he took the skin of the animal and he clothed them and he covered them and he made them righteous again. Yeah? Okay, so in the beginning he set a blood covenant in place. And then as we go through many hundreds of years later, we look at the Mosaic Law. Yeah, and again, what type of covenant is that? Which covenant? Blood covenant. Very good. All right, so we're going to look at a scripture in the Old Testament. Oh dear. All those who don't like reading the Old Testament, it's very important that we do to help us to understand what Jesus has done for us. So we're actually going back to the law. We're going to be looking in Leviticus. Okay, Leviticus 4, verses 32 to 35. Okay, and this is what was required of someone who had sinned. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read it out, but I want to make you to make sure that you also read it, okay? Because I'm going to be asking for volunteers in a minute. Okay, so this is what it says. It says, if someone brings a lamb as their sin offering, they are to bring a female without defect. They are to lay their hand on its head and slaughter it for a sin offering at the place where the burnt offering is slaughtered. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering and pour out the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. They shall remove all the fat, just as the fat is removed from the lamb of the fellowship offering. And the priest shall burn it on the altar on top of the food offerings, presenting to the Lord. In this way, the priest will make atonement for them for the sin they have committed, and they will be forgiven. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right, everybody got that? Okay. Y'all want to read it through one more time? You good? Okay. All right, so now I need three volunteers. Okay, when I was in the military, I used to be in the Air Force. I was in the Australian Air Force for 21 years. When I was in the Air Force, I always wanted to go on a military exercise. And for 10 years, nothing happened. nothing. And I always wanted to go on one. And then someone said to me, well, you've got to put your name down. It's like, what? It's that simple? I've got to put my name down? He said, yeah. So I said, okay. So I called the relevant people up and I put my name down. Sure enough, 3 months later, I get called up to go on a military exercise. Some of the best times that I've ever had was through volunteering. Who remembers the 2000 Olympics? Yeah? Some of us not old enough to remember the 2000 Olympics, only just. Okay. At the 2000 Olympics, there was a military guard that raised and lowered the Olympic flag at the opening and closing ceremonies. Guess who was on that team? Me. Guess why? I volunteered. So I need 3 volunteers. 1. Thank you. 2. Excellent. 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 I've got my female lamb. Okay, come up on stage so everyone can see. I'm just going to grab this stool. Hang on 2 seconds. All right, so this stall is going to represent the altar. Okay? All right, so I need someone to be a priest. Who would like to be the priest? Okay, so we have our priest. Okay, so who does the priest represent? He represents God, right. Okay, so he represents God under the old covenant. Okay, so the priest, if you want to stand behind the altar there. Okay, no problem. And I need someone to be a sinner. Excellent. Heavenly Father, we just... Okay, and which means that you will be the lamb. Okay, all right. So what I want you to do is I want you to enact out the scripture that we just read. Do you remember the scripture? Okay. All right, so this is the sinner, sacrifice, and priest. Okay. So, and as you do it, I'd like you to explain what it is you're doing. Okay? So you're the sheep. So you'll need to come this side. You're a sheep. Bah. Bah. All right. So our sinner has just sinned and he needs to have atonement or covering for his sacrifice, yeah? For his sin, sorry. Okay, so he has to bring a sacrifice. Okay, so bring your sacrifice.
Bring your sacrifice before the altar, lay your hand upon the sacrifice's head, and shed its blood. Then you take the blood with your finger and you place it on the altar. And you tip out the rest of the blood at the foot of the altar. Okay. And then my sins are forgiven.
Okay. Did they do it right? They left out something? Okay. Which was it? Oh, the fats, yes. Okay, so the lamb is slaughtered, and then okay, so let's go back to the slaughtering bit. Okay, so we slaughtered the lamb. Okay.
Slaughtered the lamb, and you took the blood, put the blood on the altar, and spilt out the rest of the blood at the foot of the altar. You cut out all the fat, and you sacrificed the rest to God on the altar.
Okay. All right, just stay there. Okay. All right, did they get it right? Ooh, you're looking at the scripture again. No, no? No, you didn't do it right. Okay, hang on.
Because the priest is supposed to take the blood of some sort.
Okay, so we need to determine who does what. Yeah? Okay, so let's try it again. Let's come over here. Sinner and sacrifice. Bear. Okay, so sinner, you can if you want. It's up to you. Okay, so sinner, bring your sacrifice before the priest.
He must give the blood to me.
So what's the first thing that happens?
Oh, I must slaughter the... Quick, slaughtered. Okay, taking the blood, and then you're supposed to do the fatty part. Am I right? You're supposed
to... Okay, so firstly, who does the slaughtering? The priest does the slaughtering? And who cuts up all the fat bits? The priest does all that. Are you sure? Okay, shall we read the scripture again? Okay, let me just go over here. Okay, so this is how it goes. If someone brings a lamb as a sin offering, they are to bring a female without defect. Okay, this is our sacrifice, yeah, it's our female. Okay, so firstly, how do we know that the lamb is without defect? What has to happen first? The priest has to check the lamb. Okay? So the first thing that happens is the priest checks the lamb to see if the sacrifice is without defect, that it's perfect. Yep, so do that. How does it go? Looking good?
Looking good.
Looking good. Okay, excellent. Okay, so our sacrifice, firstly, is without defect. Okay, so that's the first thing that happens. Okay, and then it says, they lay their hand on the head and slaughter it for a sin offering. Okay, who does that bit? They. But who's the they? Is it the priest or is it the sinner? Okay, put your hand up if you say it's the priest. Put your hand up if you say it's the sinner. General consensus, it's the sinner. Yes, you're right. Okay, it says, if someone brings a lamb as a sin offering, they are to bring a lamb without defect. They, the person who brings the sin offering, are to lay their hand on the head and slaughter it as a sin offering. Okay, so do that bit. At the place where the burnt offering is slaughtered. Then the priest, okay, so that's very obvious, yeah? Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar of the burnt offering and pour the rest of the blood at the base of the altar. Okay, so who's ever seen a sheep slaughtered? Yeah, it's pretty messy business. Cow? Yeah, that's even worse. Okay, but a sheep slaughtered, basically what happens is the neck gets cut and... Yeah? Okay, and what would happen was the priest would have a bowl. And as that happened, he would catch the blood in the bowl. Okay, so slaughter your lamb, catch the blood, quick. Okay, all right. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it on the horns of the altar. 1, 2, 3, 4. Beautiful. 4 horns of the altar, very good, of the burnt offering, and pour the rest of the blood out at the base of the altar. Very good. Okay. They shall remove the fat, just as the fat is removed of the lamb of the fellowship offering. Okay, who removes the fat offering? Put your hand up if you say priest. Okay, put your hands down. Put your hand up if you say sinner. Some people are a little undecided, but you're right. It's the sinner that actually does it, because it's not the priest, it's they. They shall remove the fat, just as the fat is removed from the lamb of the fellowship offering. Okay, so now we're doing the slice and dicing. Slice and dice, yeah, beautiful lamb. Who wants lamb for lunch? Excellent. All right, so the sinner now slices and dices. Okay, and then it says, and the priest shall burn on the altar on top of the food offerings presented to the Lord. Okay, so then the sinner takes the fat of the offering and then gives it to the priest to now burn on the altar. Yeah? Okay. In this way, the priest will make atonement for them for their sins they have committed, and they will be forgiven. Excellent. Praise the Lord. Do you feel forgiven? Okay. When you're forgiven, what are you? Righteous. Don't go away. Don't go away. Am I doing for time? Excellent. I have plenty of time. Okay. So when you are forgiven, you are made in right standing with God. Everyone agree with that? Okay. So this is how it worked under the old covenant law. Whenever someone sinned, they had to bring an offering to be forgiven of their sins. Blood had to be shed. Yeah? Everyone agrees with that. No one's not agreeing with that. Okay, good. Okay. Okay, now I want to go to the new covenant. Okay, So what I want you to now do, okay, so you've enacted the old covenant, okay, now what I want you to do is enact the new covenant for me. Okay, good question. The question was, who is Jesus? Okay, so firstly, we need to determine under the new covenant who represents who, yeah? Okay, so the priest is God, yes.
Hallelujah.
Okay, and our sinner is still a sinner, okay? And the lamb is Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, so go like this. Jesus, excellent. Okay, so now I want you to enact out what happens when you sin. Under the new covenant, post-crucifixion. Okay, now you're right. What is the transaction that has to take place? Okay, the crucifixion?
The death of Christ. Of the Jesus.
Okay, so we have to have had the death of Jesus. Have we had the death of Jesus? Okay, what else has to happen? One more important thing.
The
resurrection.
Excellent. The resurrection. Okay. The resurrection needs to happen, right? Because otherwise Jesus just died. Yeah? If Jesus just died, he would have, even if he had been perfect and the perfect sacrifice, he would have been able to forgive the sins from that point and before. But unless he resurrects and overcomes death, we can't be forgiven for future sins, and neither can anybody post the crucifixion. So that one of the important things to remember is that Jesus actually rose from the dead. Okay, he overcame death. Never forget that. Okay, all right. So enact out for me what transpires under the new covenant, post-crucifixion. You sin and...
sin and my sins are forgiven because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And me being the Father forgives him of his sin because of the death of my son.
Okay. Jesus, anything to say?
I'm on the cross.
No, you're not on the cross anymore. You're resurrected. Okay. All right. So Can I show you what happens? Okay, so remember under the old covenant, what was the first thing that happened? The sinner had to bring the sacrifice. Let's quickly go back there to Leviticus. Okay, if someone sins, they have to bring a lamb. Scriptures tell us that Jesus was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, right? Okay, so the sinner has to bring their sacrifice still, even under the new covenant. Okay, because remember, it's a blood covenant. Okay, bear with me, okay? Don't think I'm a heretic just yet. Okay, so the sinner sins. Okay, they bring their sacrifice. Okay, what's their sacrifice now? Previously it was a lamb. What is it now? Jesus. Okay, so bring Jesus. Okay, before the priest, but under the new covenant, who is it now? God. Okay, so when we sin now, bring our sacrifice before God, who is Jesus, okay? And what's the first thing that happens? God says he doesn't know what you're talking about. No, not quite. The first thing that happens, what is it? In the Old Covenant, what was the first thing that happened? Sorry? Lay the hand on the head. No, something happened just before that. Inspect it. Okay, very good. Okay, so now under the new covenant, what happens is when we sin, we present Jesus before God, who has already died for us and resurrected, right? God now inspects Jesus. Okay, so inspect Jesus. How's he look? Yes, you're a he now. So Jesus is perfect. Okay, he was the perfect sacrifice. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, so God now inspects Jesus and says, yes, the sacrifice is enough. It's perfect. Okay, then what happens next? What happens under the old covenant? They have to lay their hand on the head of Jesus, okay, and slaughter him. Okay, but Jesus has already been slain. So is that bit necessary anymore? Okay, all right. And then we have to cut him up, slice and dice him. Is that bit necessary anymore? Why is it not necessary? Why? It begins with an R. He's resurrected, okay, because he overcame death. And this is, as I said, is one of the most important things. He's overcome death, hence he doesn't have to die again. In fact, he can't die again because he's already done it. Okay, so when we sin, we present Jesus before God now, and we say, God, I've sinned, okay? And God looks at Jesus and he says, oh, look, it's my son Jesus, and he's perfect, okay, who's overcome death. Hence, the last bit, the blood doesn't have to be shed again or placed on the altar or poured at the base of the altar because Jesus has already done that. He did that at the cross. And so you are declared righteous, forgiven, and hence righteous. Okay. All right, so this is what happens. Okay. Okay, see if I can do this with a mic. Okay.
Jesus, come over here.
Okay, so our priest now is not a priest. It's actually God. We enter directly into the throne room of God. Remember, the curtain was torn. Hence, we can come boldly into God's presence. Okay. So when we sin, all we do is we say, God, I've sinned, but look at Jesus. Come, Jesus. And we show God Jesus and the sacrifice that he's made for us. And God says, okay, you're forgiven. And then you go home. And on your way home, come, Jesus. Remember, Jesus comes with us because we have the Holy Spirit now. And on our way home, we sin again. And so we go back to God. And we go, and God goes, oh, but Jesus. And then we go home again. And we sin again. And so we have to go back again. And we go, he says, oh, but Jesus. And we go home again and we sin. And he goes, oh, but Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus did it all. Amen? Okay, thank you, guys. You can take a seat. Okay, Jesus has done it all. There is nothing more for us to do. One important thing that I want to actually share with you is about the sacrifice. When the sinners sinned, they brought their sacrifice. Now, I'm going back to the Old Covenant now. And they presented it before the priest. After they'd presented it, what was the first thing that happened? Inspect. Okay, very good. Yes, the sacrifice was inspected. The same thing happens under the New Covenant. Okay, the inspection of Jesus now takes place, and because he died and resurrected, we are eternally forgiven. Hence, you are eternally, excellent, good, everybody's on the same page. Okay, under the old covenant, did the priest look at the sinner to determine whether or not they should be forgiven? Never. Never, ever did the priest ever look to the sinner to determine whether or not they should be forgiven. He only ever looked at the sacrifice. And under the new covenant, nothing has changed because God doesn't break his covenants. And he set a blood covenant in place in the Garden of Eden. He brought it in again with the Mosaic law. And he did the same thing with the death and resurrection of Jesus. But at no time did God or the priest ever look at the sinner to determine whether or not they should be forgiven. He has only ever looked at the sacrifice to determine whether or not you can be forgiven. Now we have this eternal forgiveness as a result of the work of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah? Okay, can you see, can you understand now why you're righteous? Because it's quite easy for us to say I'm righteous, that I'm in right standing with God. But unless we really understand the transaction that has taken place, we won't really understand the grace of God. we won't really understand why we're righteous. We can say it, but it's out there. We say that we're righteous, but we don't necessarily know why we are righteous. Hopefully, by the demonstration that we've done today, it helps you to understand why you are righteous and why you are always righteous. But there's one condition on becoming righteous. God places one condition. What's that? Sinner's prayer? Okay. Who agrees with that? Sinner's prayer is a good thing. Okay. Not necessarily needed. Okay. Belief. Yes, belief. In Hebrews, it tells us that the Israelites were unable to enter the promised land because of their unbelief. Okay. And the Holy Spirit is the one that enables us to come to the point of belief. Okay. I'm going to give you my take on what happens here. Okay. From my personal testimony, all right, this is my understanding of the transaction that took place. I grew up going to church. I was in a cathedral choir when I was 7 up until the age of 12. And then at the age of 12, I walked away from God. So I was going to church for, 5 years, okay, 4 times a week. Got confirmed in church. I went to an Anglican church. All those Anglicans, woohoo! Okay, so I went to an Anglican church 4 times a week. Didn't know God. Took me until I was 34 years old, 1998. You can do the math. I'm a grandpa. Okay, and now I'm 34, and my brother has been praying for me for 20 years, okay, to get saved. Now, how I got saved was like this. Basically, my brother invited me to go to a Franklin Graham crusade. Who knows who Franklin Graham is? Yeah? Billy Graham's son. Okay, who knows who Billy Graham is? Okay, more people. Excellent. Okay, so Billy Graham's a great evangelist, and his son Franklin Graham, they were having a crusade at the Burswood Dome in Perth. And my brother invited me along, and this is how he invited me. He said, "Jeff," because I was a bit of a party animal, a bit of a drinker, smoker, out there doing all the wrong things. And he said, "Jeff, do you want to go and see a band?" And the band was a band called Jars of Clay. Yeah? Okay, so he invited me to go see this band called Jars of Clay, and I love watching bands because I'm a musician, and so I said, "Yeah, sure, I'd love to go." And so I went to the Burswood Dome. Well, guess what? Jars of Clay played the previous night. So I don't know what happened there, but obviously, I don't think my brother did it on purpose, but basically I never got to see the band. But what I heard was the gospel. He presented the gospel in a way that didn't necessarily make sense to me, but I was at the back of the auditorium, and I was standing at the back of the auditorium. I heard the message, and then he did an altar call, and he invited people to come forward who wanted to get right with God. And I was down the back, and I honestly, to this day, have absolutely no idea how I got to the front of the auditorium. Who's seen those Energizer bunnies? It was a bit like that. I was down the back, and all I know was my whole body began to shake, and somehow I ended up from the back of the auditorium, and it's a big auditorium, it seats about 5,000, down to the front of the auditorium, and I ended up giving my life to Jesus. Yeah, thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Yeah, it was a special day for me. Yeah, 16th of November, 1998. Interestingly, it was the same month and year that Michelle's previous husband died in a car crash. So I got saved the same month and year that he died. And I can tell you lots of stories about our relationship and how we got together and how God put us together, but that's another time. But I needed to get to the point of belief. This is what I believe transpires when we come to belief. Just my own opinion, and I'll put that out there first. It's my opinion on what I believe happens, the transaction that takes place. Because how do I get to the point of belief? how do I, because sure, which comes first, faith or belief? Faith or belief? Faith. I agree. I believe faith comes first. Okay, fine. Where do I get the faith from? Reading the word. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. Yes, that's one way, and that's basically possibly what happened in my case, because I heard the word and then faith came. Faith, I believe, comes through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit, as it did in the Old Testament. Remember in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon individuals to enable them to do things that previously they hadn't been able to do? I've got a great testimony about that, but that's for another time. You want to hear it now? Okay, right, quickly. All right, so when I was in India, right, I was working on outreach on a mission trip, and I was working in a slum community in India, and I had to do this. They were installing an ablution block. Okay? Now, I'm an administrator by trade. Okay? I push paper around for a living. Okay? I did that for 21 years in the military. I'm in the community, and they're asking me to help them install an ablution block. Okay? And for 3 days, I was in the community, and they're talking about it and what's going to happen and what have you. And basically, I had absolutely no idea what to do because I'm not a plumber. And I'm definitely not an engineer. And so I went to my leaders, who were there at the time, and I said to them, they were all sitting around, and I said to them, look, I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. I can't do this. And being great YWAM leaders that they are, they said, okay, let's all pray for Jeff. And honestly, when they said that, I thought to myself, yeah, fat lot of good prayer's going to do. Honestly, that's what I thought. Anyway, I took their prayers and I said thank you, and I went to bed that night. Went to bed that night, woke up the following morning, and God had downloaded all the information that I needed to know to enable us to install this ablution block. And so I went to the community the following day, and we were meeting actually with the civil construction engineer. And he was talking to the people in the community, because the community were actually installing it themselves to save some finances. And he said, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to dig 3 feet down here, and we're going to follow this line, and then we'll connect up with the sewage at the other end. And I turned to him with all boldness and faith, and I said to him, no, we're going to dig 6 feet down and follow this line, because if we don't, the pipe will end up 3 feet off the ground. And he just looked at me with amazement, and he went, okay. Didn't even question it. Guess what we did? We dug 6 feet down, and we followed the line that I'd said, and when we got to the other end, the sewage, not only was it in the right line, but literally the pipe went like this. Onto the sewage. All through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Yeah. That's pretty cool. So if you're ever in a situation where you don't know how to do something, ask God. Okay, because the Holy Spirit is the one that empowers us. He teaches us things that we don't yet know. Okay, so this is what I believe. Let's get back to the belief thing. This is what I believe transpired. I believe that the Holy Spirit comes upon individuals to enable them to have enough faith to believe. Because Jesus says, all you need is faith like a mustard seed. This tiny, tiny amount of faith to be able to believe. And I believe once we have that empowering of the Holy Spirit to believe, we then are able to step forward in faith to believe. And once we believe, we receive the Holy Spirit and we are made righteous. Hallelujah. Okay. So, say again. Yes. Yes. Thank you to everyone who prayed for me along the way. 20 years it took me. Yes, I'm a bit slow on the uptake. So I asked my question again to conclude. My question was at the beginning, stand up everybody who is righteous. Now remember, before you do, There's two things that need to take place. Firstly, you need to believe. Okay? And then you need to accept the work of the death and resurrection of Jesus, and then you'll be saved. Okay, so my question is, stand up everybody who is righteous. And my encouragement to anybody who's not standing is, if you're in a position where you want to have this understanding of the grace of God in your life, then now is your opportunity to be able to do that. Amen? Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you brought your Son Jesus, and he was our sacrifice. He died on a cross, and not only did he die, but he was resurrected. He overcame death so that we could have eternal forgiveness. Father, we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. And Father, today, we no longer have to walk in condemnation. Because under the old covenant, that's what was brought, condemnation. But Father, we walk in freedom because of what your Son has done for us. Heavenly Father, we just impute the blood of Jesus upon our lives. And we accept that sacrifice, his death and his resurrection. And we commit ourselves to you, Jesus, and to you, Father, and to you, Holy Spirit, for your leading in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.